From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. So what do you think of when you hear Craters of the Moon National Monument? Maybe a hot rocky landscape, maybe a gray empty volcanic area where nothing grows and plants can't survive? Well, turns out a lot of plants can survive in this desert in eastern Idaho. And Dr. Lynn Kinter knows this firsthand. She's been studying plants for more than 35 years, and she's an adjunct graduate faculty member in the Department of Biological Sciences at Boise State University. And she'll be talking about the flora of Craters of the Moon next Monday at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gemma. It's great to be here.
Okay, so let's begin with the Craters of the Moon for anyone who hasn't been there. Can you describe the landscape for us?
Yes, the National Monument and Preserve is named for its volcanic features that form a stark, moon-like landscape in south-central Idaho, very different from the surrounding plains or the foothills nearby. And the black lava is a harsh environment with surface temperatures that exceed 150 degrees Fahrenheit in the summer. But wow. Stuck in the cracks and crannies, you'll find lots of interesting plants like lava aster, lava prickly phlox, and hot rock penstemon.
Okay, so this does sound like a pretty harsh environment. But as you mentioned, I mean, there are certain plants that cannot just grow there, but sounds like they thrive there.
They do. Even though there's less than 15 inches of precipitation a year, and most of that is snow, they still have adaptations that can allow them to survive. Some, like the leopard lily and monkey flower, grow quickly in the spring when the moisture is available, and then they go dormant or go to seed as the summer heat is starting. Others reduce water loss from their leaves, like wax currant, which is a waxy or oily coating on its leaves. Others have hairs on their leaves to shade the surface and slow the wind. And prickly pear and lance leaf stonecrop are succulent. They store water in their stems or leaves. And then some small plants have a surprisingly large root system that spreads out around the plant for a couple feet to monopolize the water.
So is this how those plants survive then? Is they've been able to adapt to hold on to water, it sounds like.
Exactly. That's the thing that's in shortest supply there. They have to somehow tolerate that heat, either by being dormant or by having special adaptations with low amounts of water. There are some plants there that are from cooler habitats that you wouldn't expect in such a hot, dry area. And these include several ferns, fern species that grow tucked down in the cracks where it's cool, and even limber pine, which is ordinarily a montane tree. But at Craters, it grows right out on the open lava. These pines and ferns tap pools of snow melts and rainwater that collect in the cracks of the lava.
So I tell me if I'm wrong on this, but I heard that orchids can actually grow at Craters of the Moon.
That's right. It's hard to believe. There are a few streams, a few streams and riparian areas, and they do support four species of orchid: the striped coral root, the spotted coral root, northern bog orchid, and scent bottle are the common names of those. It's hard to believe.
That is really crazy to think about. So I'm curious, what got you so interested in researching plants, and how long have you been doing this?
Well, I always loved wildflower walks as a child. In fact, I first went to Craters of the Moon National Monument and Preserve when I was about 15 on a family camping trip. And so I've been back several times to conduct research on rare plants and to lead field trips for plant ID workshops and the Idaho Native Plant Society field trips. So I guess it was just from my family's outings when I was a child, something I always loved.
And so when did you really then start digging into the research of plants, but specifically, out in these desert areas?
Well, I worked in an herbarium at University of Idaho when I was an undergraduate and saw the specimens that people were bringing back. So I heard about their research from my fellow students there, some of the grad students when I was an undergraduate, and that got me intrigued. especially rare plants. They're so uncommon, sometimes because of things that have happened in their habitat, or sometimes because they're adapted to unique sites, like some of the ones at craters. And so I guess it just grew from there.
So what are some of the most unusual plants you've seen at craters of the moon?
Well, there are actually 10 species of rare plants that occur on or near the National Monument. The most unusual is Craters of the Moon buckwheat. It's a small mat-forming plant found only on the cinders, and its scientific name, Areogonum ovalifolium, variety Focarium. The variety name is Latin for in the oven. So the fact that this little tiny plant can grow out on the hot cinders and bloom and thrive is really pretty amazing. There are other rare plants like Peekaboo milkvetch, named for the town of Peekaboo, and Camas milkvetch, named after the Camas Prairie. I always love seeing those.
Mm-hmm. So what is your absolute favorite flower or plant at craters, or can you even name one?
It's tough to choose, but there are several that grow in what are called cinder gardens. The cinders support vast stands of wildflowers that are short and evenly spaced as if they're planted in a garden. And they bloom in late May on to mid-June. And in these cinder gardens, the colors of the blooms really jump out from the black cinders. So there are little monkey flowers with magenta blooms, purple phacelias, white and yellow buckwheats, pink bitterroots, and several others. Those are my favorites.
So when would you say is the best time to see these wildflowers out at the monument?
Well, you can see color from late April into early September. In late April, the bright yellow blooms of turpentine, spring parsley, and sagebrush buttercup will be popping up. And you can just see color on through the yellow golden rabbit brush blooms in late August, early September. But the peak bloom time is really the same time the cinder gardens bloom, and that would be late May to mid-June.
So what are you hoping that people learn about Craters of the Moon through, you know, all of this research you do about plants?
Well, some of it is about appreciating and protecting the rare plants that are there, some of which are very limited in their habitat. So I hope people will appreciate those for the unique part of Idaho that they are. Mm-hmm. And then there's also a lot of interesting plant ecology at craters, different plant communities on lava flows of different ages, from 2,000 to 15,000 year old lava flows. And they can see it's this really compressed lesson in ecology. The most recent lava flows have little soil development and support only short, sparse vegetation, short, patchy grasses and stunted shrubs. And then the older flows with more well-developed soils have taller, denser vegetation, big sagebrush and limber pine or aspen. So it's a great lesson in ecology there as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today. I really appreciate the conversation.
Thank you, Gemma. I've really enjoyed talking with you.
Well, thank you. We've been talking with Dr. Lynn Kittner, an adjunct graduate faculty member in the Department of Biological Sciences at Boise State University. She'll be talking about the flora of Craters of the Moon on March 25th, at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.